We are doing our dating class, and we mentioned last week the importance of dating out of equilibrium, that a person has to attain balance. A person can't start dating when he has just made radical changes in his life. A person who just did tshuva, a person who just did gear, or other radical changes, a person has to take time to settle down, to balance. And we said one of the first things one has to attain is a knowledge of oneself, which is not a simple thing to do. It is one of the things that one needs to acquire Torah, as we will learn later in Pirkei Avot. One has to have a certain consistency that comes with being balanced. And we said that sometimes a person cannot recognize that on his own. It pays to consult with someone who knows you well. Just this morning I was speaking to someone who recently underwent some traumatic things in his life, and I asked him what's happening with dating. So he said, I don't know, but I guess the Torah says I should start, a person has to get married, so I'll start dating. So I told him, maybe you should take time to balance, to land, before you start dating. So he said, maybe, but the Torah says you're supposed to get married, so I should be ready for it, so I guess I'll start dating. So I said, don't you think you should date out of balance, out of equilibrium, give yourself time? So he said, no, the Torah says you're supposed to get married, so I guess I have to start dating. Sometimes we think that just because in theory something should be so, we are there. And even when you speak to intelligent people, and this is a person who I really value his intelligence, he's a smart person, but I think that in this area, he's misgauging himself. It's true, yes, he has to get married, he has this mitzvah. But in order to do it properly, in order to find the right wife, he also has to land. We ended off last week with discussing the importance of knowing oneself and how people have better days and worse days, and we have to take time to define who we are. And part of defining who we are is discerning between our aspirations and what we've already attained. There's a tendency that people confuse where they'd like to be with where they really are. We like to think of ourselves as having attained levels that we haven't yet attained. We aspire to those levels, but we haven't yet attained them. And we ended off with the question, I asked each person to try and answer these two questions to themselves. Who are you? To answer that question. And we said that you can include the things that are important to you, but that doesn't define who you are. It's an aspect of who you are. And we asked that each person write it down for himself. And the second question was, what are your aspirations? We're going to move forward with the preparations for dating. And the first preparation is acquiring good traits. Yes, David?
It says, like, I'm going to get this whole page tonight?
I don't know if we'll get to finish the page tonight.
It says internet dating?
Yeah.
You should do that or shouldn't?
We'll get to that. It's not a one sentence thing.
And like, why not believe Shadi?
We'll get there. I don't get it. One thing at a time. We'll get there. We'll get there. I assume that being that most people are not taking notes, you'd like to have my notes, so I made you photocopies of them, but don't jump ahead. We'll get there. Okay. Acquiring good traits. We've discussed many times in our class on the Jewish home that the key to good home is good traits. Even a person who has good traits will have to invest a lot and work a lot at making his home work, but the Aleph Beis, the ABCs of building a home, is having good traits. And every person knows to an extent what they have to work on. For one person it's laziness, for another person it's anger, for a third person it's thriftiness, for a fourth person it's that he's a spendthrift. Every person knows his weaknesses. We all have many of them, but some that are more blatant. We have to take time to work on it. And sometimes it pays to put off dating for a while if we can grow to the extent that we're going to be on a different plane when we date. Often we think, I'll work on it, it's a lifelong task. But we should try to make certain breakthroughs. Person who knows he loses his temper and he's apt to choke someone when he gets angry, he has a problem dating right now. Person who knows he has a problem with alcohol abuse or drug abuse, he has a problem dating right now. He might find a girl that will agree to marry him, but is he ready to get married? What kind of home will he build? So here is a question which a person really has to be truthful with himself, and if a person finds that difficult, he might want to consult with a rabbi or a counselor or whoever it is he consults with. What weaknesses does a person have, and maybe some of them are serious enough that a person should work on them before he starts going out. Some people whose parents have gotten divorced have never worked out their parents' divorce, and they're apt to recreate what they've seen at home if they haven't worked it out. So this is complicated. It's difficult to cover all the points. We began with good traits. When it comes to traits, so that people can work on and should try to make a breakthrough on certain points. If a person finds himself frequently lapsing into periods where he doesn't eat kosher, he doesn't daven, he doesn't put on tefillin or things like that, then that goes back to the issue of equilibrium. Person has to find balance. It's not right to date before we're balanced. We might be able to present ourselves nicely, but that doesn't mean that we're being fair to ourselves or the spouse. And even if we could hold out throughout the dating period and get married, and the dating period just soars, let's make believe that there exists such a concept that you date a girl and it only gets better. Doesn't exist, but let's make believe it exists. And every date is better than its predecessor, and you reach a point of engagement, and everything is soaring. Let's be realistic, married life is not that way. Some days are up and some days are down. And some weeks are up and some weeks are down. And some months are up and some months are down. And some years are up and some years are down. Now, if a person hasn't attained certain things, then what's going to happen when suddenly 3 weeks after they get married, they're having a tough week? If suddenly he doesn't put on tefillin one morning, how's his wife going to swallow that? If he's holding where he puts on tefillin every day, let him present himself that way. If he feels like he's not going to break through that for the next few years, and if for some reason he feels like he wants to date where he's holding now, so let him be truthful when he's dating. But to present ourselves one way, when we haven't really attained that level, then we're hurting everyone. And that brings us to the next point, being truthful to ourselves about where we are today in perspective of where we want to be. Now, where we want to be is very important, but we have to remember that remains in the realm of aspirations. It's not where we are yet. Now, every person has to ask himself, as we approach dating, what is important to me? Usually when I question people, as I have my own form on the computer, when people tell me they want to start dating, so I fill out the form. Who are you? Who are your parents? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you get your education? What do you plan doing in the future? One of the questions I ask is, describe to me what's important to you. And really I ask this more as a question of what kind of guy are you looking for, or I ask the guy what kind of girl are you looking for. And it's interesting that people sometimes forget to say what in my mind is the most important thing, a person with good traits, a person with good midot. Is that important to you or not? I would hope it's important to you. I think it should be important to you. But either it is or it isn't. A person has to think, well, what is important to me? Some people say what's important to me is that she comes from a solid home. Now, that's a valuable thing, but I'm not sure that that should be a criterion. Some people say, well, I'm a ger, or I'm chozer b'tshuva, I don't have a family. I need a wife who at least have a family on her end. I agree, it's a plus. The question is, do you nix a perfectly good girl because she doesn't have that? It depends on many factors. I mean, if you're 25 or 23, so you're not in such a rush, you have some time, then you could up the ante. Then you could say, yeah, I'm going to hold down a little bit. Let me see what kind of girls I'm offered. If you're 45 or even 35 and you're not getting that many girls offered, then I'm not sure I would hold off on that one, even though it's definitely something of value. When it comes to looks, so people sometimes go to extremes. I had quite a few guys that told me, when it comes to looks on a scale of 1 to 10, I need a 10. Don't talk to me about an 8. She must be a 10. This is something that's very important to me. I have no problem respecting that. But I'm not sure that you do have a problem respecting that. Okay. I'll tell you. So let's discuss. That brings us to a different point, but it's a very important point. There are two ways we can approach this. when we look at dating, so we can approach it like a shir in midot, shir in musar, and we could say, what's the best way a person should behave? A person should be like this. So now when I speak to the guy who's setting me up, I say, well, I learned that I should be a God-fearing person. I need a girl who's a God-fearing person. I learned that what's important is she should be a good mother. I need a woman that loves children. I learned that what's important is she should be respectful of her parents. I need a girl that respects her parents. Now I get off that phone conversation and I go to the bar and I watch the soccer game and I drink my beer and I go to sleep and I forget to say Shema on the bed. Am I doing everything I learned? No. So I think the more correct way is that a person should be truthful about where he is and who he is. And even though all our other classes discuss the ideal, where is a Jew supposed to be? In this one class, we leave the ideal and we become very, very practical. Where are you for real? Where you aspire to be is a good thing. It has its place in dating. But it's just that it has its place. But I am here. I'm not yet where I'm supposed to be. And where I am today, if what's important to me is that she should be a 10, so who am I kidding? That's what's important to me. I can't play games and say, in theory, that shouldn't be important to me. That's not what's important in life. I know a guy who, when he was dating, he always said, I don't care about looks. That's not what's important to me. And his rabbi always told him, no, you got to make sure that she's a good-looking girl.
In your eyes.
And in your eyes, right. But she's got to, we're going to discuss what's considered good. We'll get to that in a second. So he's dating, and finally he goes out with a girl that had some pretty serious issues. And every time he looked at her, he saw like she looked sad. She had this depressed look in her eyes. She dressed covered in black. Literally, she had a serious problem with depression. Now, she was a very good girl. She was a good person. So he's dating based on his theories. But he can't look her in the eye. Like, they're dating, and every time he looks at her, he gets scared. Like, he sees a woman covered in black, and she looks sad. But in theory, everything fit. So he goes on date number one, and he comes back, and he starts tallying up, and he says, sounds good, but I don't want to go out on date number two. And he can't figure out why. And he goes on date number two, and he says, looks even better, but I don't want to go out on date number three. And he can't figure out why. Until finally, on date number four, he forces himself to look at her, and he says, now I know why. And then he broke it off. So he always lived with the theory. It doesn't matter to me. And I think by him it was more theory. It was real. Like, he really wasn't so important to him. But even a person who's not so important to him, there are certain things that are not good for him. So when it comes to looks, a person has to feel like the other person is appealing to them. But there are people who will not find the other person appealing unless they feel they're a 10. So I might not approve of it, but if that's where they're holding, then we have to be realistic and find them a girl that matches for them. Unfortunately, I can't always placate them. I don't always have what they want. My policy when I set up girls is I never meet them in person on purpose. I mean, if I bump into them, fine, but I don't meet a girl. I'll only interview her by phone. So I never know what a girl looks like. If it's important to a guy, so I'll try to find out, and I'll ask her friends, is she... On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give her? And almost always they'll say a 7. People can see whether another person is good looking or not. So what's important when it comes to looks is that the person who's dating her should not be turned off by her. He should find her appealing. But does she have to be the star of the show? Not unless he really feels like he won't be happy without that. And if he does, so that's where he's holding. So that's what he'll have to look for. And I wish him that he'll find it. Yeah.
Isn't it a good thing to look for somebody's 10? I mean, everybody wants 10. So why should you, especially for this guy who starts about looks for the girl in the first place? Why should you look for him? Doesn't this person have an ego problem?
Does he deserve the 10?
Even people with an ego problem also have to get married. I'll tell you, I mean, I feel that my job as a shadchan is not to evaluate where people are holding, but to give them a service. My job isn't to judge a person. My job is to understand who he is and help him find the girl that matches him. Whether he's better, he's worse, he's this, he's that. That's not my job. I'm not here to gauge him. I'm here to figure, to understand him and find someone that matches him. But most shadchanim don't work that way. I think that's the way a shadchan should work.
Rabbi, I have a question.
I'm with you, yeah.
So what happens if, like, you're not ready to get in a deal for it? So
what?
He's not ready to get married yet, yet he found somebody who then together going out, it's more of fun, yet not doing too much.
So I don't know if we'll get that today.
Both of them don't want to get married, but they're
it's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. No. I understand. Boyfriend, girlfriend. I understand you. It's a good question which deserves a good answer, and it's an answer which I can't give you in 2 seconds. So I want to get to that. No, I don't mind. I hope we'll get to that. I don't know if we'll get it tonight because we don't have that much time left. When it comes to Torah. So you guys have to think about where you're headed. How much Torah will you want to learn in your day? And again, here we move from the realm of theory to practice. And you might not have come to a conclusion yet. You might still think, well, I want to learn a lot during the day. I know I also want to work for a living. Maybe I want to go to Kola and I don't want to work for a living. You might be toying with it. Now, that might preclude dating, or that might... It might be that you're ready to date and you'll leave this as a question, but you should think about it a little bit before you start dating. What about her Torah level? Some people want a girl on a higher Torah level. Some people want a girl on a lower Torah level. What about her career? And I'm not sure you have to be closed on this one. Very often people have a very set opinion. I want to marry a girl that has a career. I want to marry a girl that's going to be home all day. I'm not sure things work that way. You might meet a girl that's perfectly right for you, and you always thought you'd marry a girl that would be at home with the children, and she doesn't have the patience to be at home with the children. And I'm not sure you should mix it for that. You might meet a girl, and you'll say, I always thought my wife would work, and she wants to be home with the kids, but it works, and you guys see that it works. So you should think of which direction you want, but at the same time, I'm not sure that these are things you should be closed. I think a person should maintain an open mind. Children. I often recommend you go to dates, to parks. Unless you're living with children, it's going to be difficult to think of examples to discuss chinuch questions. You're dating a girl, she's going to be your partner with raising children. And I think it's important that this is a topic you think about and a topic you look for and discuss on your dates. I have a friend who's a big Talmud Chacham. He's really a genius. I mean, he used to learn in Merkaz Arav. It was always a comedy watching him with his Chavrusa. He'd be speed reading through the Daf, and his Chavrusa would be trying to keep up. And just a genius. When I was still a bachelor, I once had the good fortune that he invited me for a Shabbos meal. So his wife told me the following story. She said that when they were dating, she kept talking about how she wants a big family and she wants him to learn all the time, and she's going to do her best, and she's going to do the laundry and she'll take care of everything. She was very idealistic. The only problem is that she was an only child in a very wealthy family. So they got married and moved out to yeshuv, and he'd go to yeshiva and he'd be there all day. He wouldn't come home till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And she's home alone, and she has no idea how to do laundry. She has no idea how to do dishes. She grew up totally pampered in home. She was completely miserable. So, and nonetheless, she's an amazing mother and an amazing wife, and they built an amazing home together. But it took time. So, on the one hand, when you're dating, it's a good idea if the girl has younger siblings or nieces and nephews to discuss the children. And when you're checking out a girl, one of the things you should be looking out for is how she's going to be as a parent. But on the other hand, just because she doesn't have experience yet doesn't mean she won't be an amazing mother. These are points to think about. Patience. How much patience do we have? How much patience do we need our wife to have? It's a trait to think about. Eretz Yisrael. Those of you who plan on living in a yeshuv or eat nachlut, you have to think of how important is this, how much is this going to fashion your home? It's an important point. You could live like Rav Listman, where you live in Beit El, and when you feel like Beit El doesn't need you, so you go out in your mitnachel and other yeshuv. You guys know where Rav Listman lives now. I mean, that's amazing. But you need the right partner for that. If that's your goal in life, so you need a partner. That's what we're talking about over here. You have to think about what's important for me. Hashkafa. Some people say, I don't care if she's Haredi, Dati Lumi. Some people say, no, I want her to have this hashkafa or that hashkafa. A rabbi. Who's her rabbi? Who's your rabbi? These are things that are going to have to come up, and when you're dating, and when you're checking out a girl to date, these are things that you'll check out. But initially, now, as you're preparing for dating, you have to think, what's important for me and the girl that I'm going to date? What are you scared of? There's an interesting phenomenon that we tend to hear what we fear we are hearing. Now this applies within marriage and this applies within dating. And if we come prepared for it, so we'll be able to deal with it better. One person is very scared that the girl will reject him because he's a get. So the second she makes the slightest comment about Gerim, he's already in tears and he's already thinking, oh, she doesn't like me because I'm a get. Another person is scared that because he has this medical issue, girls won't want to date him. So anything that comes up that's slightly indicative in that direction, he's already interpreting it that way. People have different fears, and those fears cause them to view things a certain way and to interpret things a certain way. There's a famous story about the Hasidim who came to the Rebbe, and they're all sitting in the tish. And at the end of the tish, you have 100 Hasidim getting up to leave, and one of them says, "Where's my hat?" So all the Hasidim say, we don't know. So they're standing before the Rebbe, and everyone's wearing a hat that seems identical. And the one Hasid says, "Rebbe, someone took my hat." And all the Hasidim say, "That's not me, this is my hat." So they're standing there, 100 Hasidim. And the Rebbe says, "Okay, now I want you all to stand in a line against the wall." They all stand in a line against the wall, and the Rebbe starts pacing up and down, and he says, "Gentlemen, I'm going to turn my eyes to heaven, and the one who's wearing the stolen hat, that hat is going to get hotter and hotter, and now it's going to get on fire." And one chassid is standing there, and he's listening to the Rebbe, and his eyes get wider and wider, and suddenly starts fanning his hat, and so the Rebbe says, "Buddy, give him back his hat." So from there we have a saying in Yiddish, "Oif de ganav breta hitl, al rosh ganav boer hakova." On the thief's head, the hat is burning. So, to an extent, we're all that way. When we're scared of something, so we tend to be extra sensitive to that point. That's why, as we're preparing for dating, one of the things we have to think of is, what am I scared of? Am I scared she'll reject me because my parents are divorced? Am I scared she'll reject me because of my background or how much I know? Once we define what our fears are, we'll have an easier time in dating and saying, "Wait a second, did she say that, or is it my fears popping up again?" Very often guys come to me and tell me, "She said this." And I say, "Wait a second, let's review the conversation. Did she say that? What did she really say? What was the conversation? Are you sure she even meant that? Did she even entertain that thought? Go and talk this conversation over with her again." And half the time, she wasn't even thinking in that direction. But our fears cause us to interpret it that way. Blind spots. Every person has a blind spot. You know, when you're driving, so sometimes a car comes opposite you and he has his brights on, and suddenly you can't see clearly. So what do they tell you to do? Look down and to the right. And then as you pass, you'll be able to regain your focus. Well, when it comes to dating, we also have blind spots. Every person has different blind spots. For some people, it might be looks. You show up on a date and a girl is very good looking, so now you fall head over heels for her. Now, she might be stupid. She might not be religious. She might have 1,000 flaws that aren't for you. But once you've had that attraction, it's difficult to overcome it. So we have to recognize our blind spots so that we don't fall victim to them. Sometimes it's a sense of humor. You date a girl that's funny, and you're caught hook, line, and sinker. Sometimes it's her family. You hear she comes from an important family, so that's an attraction. Sometimes it's wealth. Your girl comes from a family that has a lot of money, so for some people that's what blinds them. Sometimes it's looks. You hear that you date a girl and you see she's good looking, and you're taken head over heel. Sometimes it's her smile, sometimes it's her intelligence, and sometimes it's her looks. You realize I said that 3 times. It wasn't a mistake. It's because that's the most common one. We have to recognize our blind spots. Just because she has this, that's not a negative thing. It might be a very positive thing. But we cannot be blinded by it. We have to be open to seeing the person as a whole. And even though those things are positive things, they're good things, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with marrying a girl that's wealthy. It comes with its own baggage, but there's nothing wrong with it. It can have its advantages, but a person shouldn't be blinded by it. A person should be open to seeing all the other aspects of the person they're dating. Sometimes a person is overtaken by one aspect. He sees that she's a good-looking girl. This is the girl I want for a wife. This is the girl I want that when I walk out of the house, she's walking next to me. This is the girl I want everyone to know is my wife. Fine. Wait a second. Does she keep kashrus? Is she interested in raising children? Or is she telling you, I want a career after 15 years, we'll consider having children? Is she talking about the type of life you want to lead? Very often, because there's this one factor that we're very attracted to, we're willing to forgo a lot of other things that are important to us. Either that's legitimate or not. We just have to ensure that we're not blinded. Yes?
I just remember hearing something that kind of helped to maybe overcome it. That is, you kind of put it in a negative light, saying that, you know, she's always going to be doing this in the mirror, and she's, you know, she's always going to be so sensitive about things that for a guy that we don't really want, you know, we can't go on that. But for me, like, it's really a very important once in a while, too, and she's not going to. Afraid of the bugs,
So the Gemara says that one shouldn't wear a shoe that's too big for himself. A person has to try to find someone that's pleasantly looking, but if you get someone that's too good looking, that's not too good for you either.
Why?
There are many reasons. Looks make a person proud. As far as haughtiness, it's difficult, the Gemara says, for a person to be modest when they're good looking. And looks cause attraction. You want other people attracted to your wife. There are a lot of aspects where looks, they're a wonderful thing when one has them. They're an advantage. One should try to have a wife that one finds attractive and appealing, and it's an important part of life. At the same time, if she's too attractive, then that could cause problems as well. Okay, so let's recap what we saw today. We discussed as preparations for dating, acquiring good traits. There are things that people should work on, and there are things that people must work on. There are issues that a person cannot start dating until he's worked them out. And we connected this with what we discussed last week, that it's not enough that a person has a good day. One has to reach a certain level of equilibrium. We discussed being truthful about where we are today in perspective of where we want to be, to know to discern between those two, and that a person has to think, what is important for me? What's important for me as far as myself, as far as my life, as far as the woman I'm going to date? We discussed the importance of recognizing what we are scared of so that we will know what are our fears and we will have more control and won't project our fears onto what she's saying. And we discussed knowing what are our blind spots. Mezrat Hashem, next week we'll pick up over here.